Morning, friends. Great to see you. Turning your Bibles to Acts chapter 12 this morning. So, yeah, Vince has watched me grow up, and I'm now 20, guys. So, Acts 12. Let's go there to get some truth in our lives. Yeah, so he's watched me grow up, but we're still growing, aren't we? We haven't arrived. We're just being made. We believe more and more like the Lord Jesus, yes? And that's good, isn't it? I have the privilege of serving God in rugby with my wife, Jo, and also the privilege of being an RE teacher, a religious education teacher at a school. And on the subject of maturity, a sixth former actually threw some cheese at me the other day. And do you know what I said to him? That's not very mature. Did you get it? Did you get it? It didn't. It's just for the purpose of the joke. Yeah, cheese, mature, just thought. It just linked in with what you were saying, Vince. Let's pray before we get into the Word of God. Lord, thank you for everyone that's here. Thank you that you are here and we are here, and that's a great combination. And thank you that we can open the Bible today and your living Word can change our lives. And if you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Your Word can change our lives. So I've called this freedom. Freedom. Who believes in freedom in the name of Jesus? Yes. Liberty and freedom in the name of Jesus. And it's the story of Peter's escape from prison. We're going to look at it in just a few moments. I've been an RE teacher for 17 years, and one day I was teaching a lesson on the life of Dr. Martin Luther King, and I needed at the time, you might remember these, CD players. Yeah, I needed a CD player because we were going to listen to his I Have a Dream speech. So I went out of my class into another class, and in this class there was a storeroom to get the CD player. I left these year 8 students while I got the CD player in, and what happened was I went into the store cupboard and the door locked behind me. Hallelujah. It was a Yale lock, and I was in the cupboard. So then you think, do I stay in the cupboard for an hour or do I knock on the door and face humiliation? So I went for knocking on the door. And I could hear these kids saying to their teacher, we think there's someone in the cupboard. And it was me. And so they kindly let me out the cupboard, which was great. And then they had a lot of fun for the next, these were year 8, so they were going to be with me for another 4 years. They had a lot of fun asking me if I'd had fun in the cupboard. Oh yes, wasn't that great? But I was set free, and that's what happens in this story today. Peter is set free from the prison. So I want us to look first of all at verses 1 to 4, and we're going to look at 5 points this morning, and I'm going to believe that through all of them, God is going to speak to you. Maybe there'll be just one thing that God brings out this morning that's his word for you, particularly this morning. So, verses 1 to 4. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by 4 squads of 4 soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial before the Passover. So our first point this morning is the persecution of Herod. He's an interesting character, is Herod. His grandfather was Herod the Great. He slaughtered hundreds of innocent babies in his intention to kill Jesus before he had time to reign as king. They weren't a very nice family. His uncle was the Herod who put John the Baptist to death to please a dancing girl. And this Herod in Acts 12, he was extravagant, he was money spending, he was luxury loving, he was lustful, and he hit on this idea that lots of people have followed since. Find a scapegoat, find a minority group, blame them, and people will love you. Still works today, doesn't it, in certain places. He looked around and he noticed, the Christians. He made inquiries and he learned that they were growing, they weren't very popular. And so he decided that he would persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. And he noticed that this pleased some. And he thought, I'm going to try this again with Peter. Here's the thought. Sometimes God does not get his people out of trouble. Why did God save Peter and let James die? The answer is, we don't know. There's some things that we won't know this side of heaven, folks. What we do know is this, God is sovereign, yes? God is sovereign, his plan is perfect, and one day we will understand it all. I'll say that again because that's probably relevant for some people here this morning. If you're going through situations and you haven't got answers, we don't understand it all, but God is sovereign, his plan is perfect, and one day we will understand it all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So, first message is, keep trusting. Keep trusting. It's great to trust. Point two, the prayer of the church. Look at verse 5. So we've got this situation. Herod has put James to death with the sword. He's arrested Peter. And it says this in verse 5. So Peter was kept in prison, comma, but the church. Wow. I love that. Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. So when you don't understand what's going on, get praying. Get praying. The situation seemed really dark and desperate. It wasn't a good record here that Herod had. James had been put to death with the sword. Peter was now in prison, coming out for public trial, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Why? Because we believe that God can change things, yes? We believe that God can change things for better. Peter is in prison, James is dead, and the church is praying. Keep praying. When you're challenged, when you're stretched, when you're squeezed, seek God. Seek God. It's when you least feel like it that you need to seek him the most. It's when your emotions are in turmoil. It's when you're challenged. It's when you're stretched. It's when you're squeezed. It's when, wow, you'd rather do a million and one other things other than pray, that you need to pray the most. But the church was earnestly praying for him. A man called David Pawson, a great Bible teacher, he says this, the most profound lesson we learn from this is that prayer is the mightiest thing in the world. Wow. Prayer is the mightiest thing in the world. The statement in verse 5 is the turning point in the story. But the church. But the church was earnestly praying for him. So when things are difficult, folks, I implore you, keep praying. Keep praying. Pray as individuals, pray as a family, pray as a church. Be committed to getting along when you can to pray together, because things can change. Verse 5, the story changes. An apostle in prison needed an assembly in prayer. And there's times in the life of this church where you just need to shift everything so you can come and pray as a church for situations and circumstances. Because but the church, when we gather together as one people with one desire to see God move, the amazing thing is, he does. He does. He moves on our behalf. He changes the situation. Anita Roddick, she founded the Body Shop, and she said this. She said, if you think you're too small to make a difference, you've never been to bed with a mosquito. Well, try it. No, don't. In other words, it doesn't matter how small or insignificant we think we are, we serve a massive God. Who can intervene, who can change things, who can work on our behalf. Together, as God's people, praying to the living God, we can make a difference. We can see change. Wow. The power of corporate prayer. So be encouraged. If you're in a life group or a house group, or if you come down on a Monday night to pray, be encouraged. We're praying to the living God. And when we do it together with other believers, Jesus said, when we gather together, two or three in my name, it's such a powerful thing, isn't it? There I am in the midst of them. So this morning in Lakenheath, God is here. Do you believe that? God is here. We've gathered together in his name, and he's with us all the time. He's with us everywhere we go. But when we gather together like this corporately as God's people, I believe the Bible says he's with us in a special way. The living God is here with us this morning. And that's why it's so important. And we're going to give some time together at the end to pray together, to believe God, to change situations. So we have the persecution of Herod, and the response to that is the prayer of the church. So when persecution comes, when challenge comes, pray yourself, but get together with other believers, get together as a church, and believe the living God that he's going to turn things around. Amen? Believe that. He's going to turn things around. He's going to make a difference. He's going to intervene. He's going to make a difference in your circumstance. Point three is the peace of God, and I love this. Peter's in prison, and look what he's doing. He is sleeping. How cool is that? He is sleeping. Verses 6 and 7. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping. Hip, hip, hooray. Because he ought to have been doing a million and one other things other than chilling out and sleeping. Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. You know, we're staying at the Travel Lodge tonight, and you're guaranteed a good night's sleep there, you know, or your money back. Or is it the Travel Lodge? Premier Inn? Well, anyway, it's always really snuggly, but it's fantastic. And but the point is here, these weren't good sleeping conditions, were they? Look at them. He's sleeping between two big soldiers, bound with two chains. He's got guards on either side, and he's sleeping. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Quick, he said, get up. And the chains fell off Peter's wrists. And everyone said, hallelujah. Wow, brilliant. Change, the peace of God. Peter had got real good reasons to be concerned and stressed and worried and not having a good night's sleep. John the Baptist had been beheaded. Stephen had been stoned to death. And now James had been put to death with the sword. And yet his state of mind is such that he is sleeping. Wow. I want to suggest to you that in the midst of your trial, your challenge, your dark time, that you can know the peace of God. The Bible says the peace of God passes all human understanding. It's above and beyond. It doesn't make sense how in certain situations where we ought to be stressed out and not sleeping and troubled and stressed, we can just feel so content. Wow. It's the peace of God. It passes all human understanding. Peter was not an insomniac. He didn't have any trouble sleeping, did he, really? I mean, look at it. When Jesus needs him most in the Garden of Gethsemane, what is Peter doing? Each time, the guy is sleeping, isn't he? He's like, watch for me 1 hour, guys. He gets his three besties together, doesn't he? Peter, James, and John. And he says, can you watch for me 1 hour, boys? You know, watch and pray. And it's interesting. I was at Mattersea for a while, doing a master's degree. And we had an older pastor there for a while with us. And what we used to do, we had our meal together, and I thought I'd try and be dead spiritual and close my eyes and say grace before every meal. Henry Drabble, his name was. And anyway, I bowed my head to pray on this occasion before my meal, and I noticed after bowing my head and opening my eyes, my apple had gone. My apple had gone. And I looked across the table, and Henry Drabble was smiling. And he said, brother, watch and pray. Watch and pray. You've taken the apple, Vince. Can you believe that? A man of God took my apple. When we were at the Assembly of God in Coventry, we used to have all-night prayer meetings. And we had this lad in our youth called Ian Gosling, who was a welder, and he could sleep everywhere. And he always used to sit by me in the prayer meeting, and about an hour in, he'd fall asleep. And on this occasion, I remember, the thing was, he trained himself highly so that when you elbowed him, he would wake up and go, ooh, hallelujah. Brilliant. But here's Peter. He is asleep. He's asleep. It takes an angelic thump on the rump to wake him up. The angel comes and it says, the angel struck him on the side and woke him up. Why was he asleep? I believe it was the peace of God. I believe that God was with him in such a way that he felt total peace. I want to say this morning. Sleep is part of God's divine order. William Blake said this, think in the morning, work at noon, eat in the evening, and sleep at night. You know, as God's people, we can know the peace and presence of God. Wow. We can know his presence in the morning. We can know his presence in the evening. Psalm 4 and verse 8 says this. I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And you know, if you're a person that's struggling to sleep, you can know the peace of God as your head hits the pillow. And why not make it a habit to just say, God, I lie down and sleep in peace. You make me dwell in safety. Psalm 5, verse 3. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. Isaiah 50 and verse 4. The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. I believe the Bible's teaching us, friends, that we can know the peace of God at night and we can know his word in the morning. And wow, what a sustaining thing that is to be able to let your head hit the pillow and be in peace and to sleep well and to know the voice of God in the morning. We have a God who wants to grant us peace and he wants to speak to us. Do you believe that? He wants to grant us sleep and he wants to sustain us through his word. And at both ends of the day, we can just know that sense in a powerful way that God is with us, yes? We can know his peace. We can know his word. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. You can know the peace of God in your head and your heart, in your situation. You can know that God is with you. Point four, the purpose of angels. If you read the book of Acts, angels are all over the book of Acts. Wonderful. Acts 5 and verse 18, Acts 8 and verse 26, Acts 10 and verse 1. And here in Acts 12, we have an angel sent to bring divine intervention to get Peter out of the prison. Wow, angels to help. Angels to help. I have an angel wakens me every morning. It's my wife. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Beautiful. Beautiful. The sister's always like that one. Oh. An angel intervened, friends. Do you believe in angels? Do you believe that they can intervene? Do you believe that they can break into the situation? Thomas Watson, a great Puritan preacher, said this, the angel fetched Peter out of prison, but it was prayer that fetched the angel. I love that. The angel fetched Peter out of prison, but it was prayer that fetched the angel. In other words, our prayers can cause angelic intervention in people's lives. I love Psalm 121 where it says, he watches over our coming and our going. Isn't it great to know as we drive up and down the land and from place to place and fly on airplanes, we can know the presence of the Lord. We can watch his, we can know his surrounding presence. The prayer of God's people opened the way for angelic intervention. Folks, we will never know what happens through our prayers. Isn't it amazing how God can intervene, how God can make a way where there seems to be no way. Angels are here to help us. Hebrews 11:14, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Psalm 34, This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. I'll read that again. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Wow. Angels to help. Angels to help, friends. We can know the presence of angels in our situation. Look at Peter. He was released from two chains, 16 guards. He walked through two doors, all because of an angel. An angel made the way for him. Here's the thought, friends. Walk through the doors that God is opening for you. Walk through the doors that God is opening for you. Many times we look so forlornly at doors that have shut that we don't notice that God has opened new doors. We're, oh, if only that had happened, if only this circumstance was different. We can get so stressed and depressed about things that haven't happened, but when a door opens, walk through it. I've noticed in the city of Coventry where we live that when the light is on green, it is really helpful to go through it. Yeah. Otherwise, people, they sort of wave at you and make signs and all sorts of things. It's just useful to go through those green lights. I've also noticed that it is really helpful to stop when it's on red. Yeah, that's pretty helpful too. People wave at you as well and you get these blue lights flashing and all things happen. In other words, if it's shut, get over it. And if it's open, go through it. Yeah. Go through the doors that God has opened for you. He can open the situation. It says in Revelation, the doors that he opens, no one can shut. And the doors that he shuts, no one can open. So why waste time and energy and emotion trying to open stuff that isn't going to open? And why waste time not walking through things that are open? Go through the doors that God is opening for you. Final point, the paradox of the situation. Look at this, verse 12. So Peter wakes up, he walks through the doors. We'll read it together, verse 9. Verse 8. The angel said to him, put on your clothes and sandals. So what we get from this is that sandals are biblical, friends. Sandals are in the Bible, but there's no mention of sandals and socks in the Bible. So just take that on board, guys. Take that on board. Sandals, good. Sandals with socks, not so good. But sandals are biblical. So there we have it. It's in verse 8. Put on your clothes and sandals. Peter did so. Wrap your cloak around you. Could be a word for you, Vince, that sandals. He's not receiving it, but pray into it, guys. Verse 8. Put on your clothes and sandals. And Peter did so. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me, the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison. But he had no idea what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought it was a vision. They passed the first and second guards. I love this. And came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself. And they went through it. When he walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Peter came to himself and said, now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating. They were anticipating this hooray time that Herod and them had succeeded, but God had got other plans. Hallelujah. God had got other plans. When this dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people were gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance and a servant girl called Rhoda came to the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, Peter's at the door. You're out of your mind, they told her. When she kept insisting this was so, they said, it must be his angel. But Peter kept on knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. Tell James and the brothers about this, he said. and then he left for another place. I love it. I love it. It was easier for Peter to get out of prison than to get into the prayer meeting. Think of that. Getting out of prison, no problem. Getting into the prayer meeting, whole lot of bother. Wow. Think of this. The answer to their prayer was standing at the door. But they didn't have the faith to open it and let him in. Imagine it. Oh Lord, release our brother Peter. Yes, amen. Oh Lord, it would be marvellous if Peter could be out of the prison and with us again. Yes, Lord. Oh Lord, increase our faith to believe that brother Peter will be released, Lord. Amen. Yes, Lord. Wonder who's at the door. Go and have a look. It's probably another parcel from Amazon. That's all it is in our house these days. It's never visitors. Parcels from Amazon. Wow. Here's the thought. Sometimes the answer to our prayers is closer than we think. Wow. The house that we've been living in for 10 years, we really felt that it was to be our house. It was round the corner from where we used to live. And we used to go past it and say, Lord, we believe that's the house for us. And we put our house on the market. And we had about 15 people come and look at it. And they all said, oh, we love it other than the kitchen. And in the end, you know, you're sick of people coming in your house and saying it's nice other than the kitchen, aren't you? Amazing. One time, you know, at that house, the estate agent arrived early. And I think she thought we were coming to look at the house rather than living there. And she said to me, have you had a chance to look at the upstairs? I says, yeah, I've lived here for 6 years. But but the point was this. We got so desperate to sell our house. It was all we could think about. It's all we could pray about. All we could talk about. Selling the house, selling the house, selling the house. And we really believed that it was the right house. And one day this bloke called Eric in our church, he's a lovely old saint. He just got up and he prophesied. He said, the thing that you have been troubled about, today or tomorrow it will change. And on the Monday a lady come to look at our house. And do you know what? We were that sick of people looking at our house, not buying it. We said, we're going out for a meal. You'll have to come at 8 o'clock. And she came and looked at it. And she bought it. Amazing. Tomorrow we got the answer to what we've been stressing about and praying about and believing for all those months and nothing happening. Suddenly we got the word of the Lord. It was closer than we thought. I thought it was never going to happen. You know, Joe used to send me out with the kids while she tidied the house and put the coffee on so it smelt nice and people weren't buying it. And then suddenly it can change. I want to speak over your life that, you know, the answer to your prayer can be closer than you think. The answer to your prayer can be closer than you think. So open the door. Open the door. Open the door and believe God to change the situation. The answer's closer than you think. Maybe Peter had this in mind when he wrote his first epistle, 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Thank you, Lord. And his ears are attentive to their prayers. Let's pray, shall we? I'm going to invite the worship team to join me. And I wonder if we could sing again that song we were singing, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And there's just some different groups of people that I'd like to challenge and pray for this morning. And I invite you in a moment, once I've prayed, to worship in the Lord. If you would appreciate prayer, just to come and stand at the front. We'd love to pray for you. The first group that we're going to pray for is people where you just can't work out what God is doing. You don't understand the circumstance. But we speak again over your life that when you don't know what to do, you don't understand, God is sovereign. His plan is perfect. And one day you'll understand it all. So trust him. Trust him. And in a moment when we're singing, just come forward if that's you and you'd appreciate prayer. The second group is people that at the minute you're challenged and stretched and squeezed. And the word of the Lord to you is, in the midst of it, seek God, because prayer is the mightiest thing in the world. The third group, and I felt this strongly over the last couple of weeks as I was praying and preparing and thinking, is people that just need to know the peace of God in a fresh way. And the scripture I really felt was this Psalm 4 and verse 8, I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. So if you'd appreciate prayer, you know the peace of God, prayer that you can sleep, then you come forward. And the final group was people where you've been praying and seeking and believing God, and it's not quite happened. And the answer to you is this. The answer to your prayer is nearer than you think. So have faith and open the door. And let God come in and change your situation. And walk through the doors that God's opening to you. Lord, we pray this morning. We thank you that we can say with Peter, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. And we thank you now that right now you can look down from heaven and you can see us in your presence right now. And you love us and you care for us. We thank you that right now your ears are attentive to our prayer. So where you are, just begin to call out to the living God. Just invite him to have his way in your life. Have his way in your situation and circumstance. Lord, we lift our voices right now. Come on, let's do that. Let's be active. We lift our voices right now. We invite you to move. We invite you to break into our lives. We thank you, Lord, for everyone that's in this house of God this morning. And we speak your blessing. Hallelujah. We pray for people, Lord, where they just can't see you at the moment. We thank you that we can speak your word and say that you are in control and you are our God. We bless you, Lord, for people this morning that need to know the peace of God in their situation. We speak peace in Jesus' name. People that need to sleep, and we pray that they would lie down and sleep in peace. We pray for people that have been striving and believing you and seeking you and agreeing together. We thank you. We're encouraged through Peter and the people of God that the answer to our prayer sometimes is just round the corner. Thank you. It could be today or tomorrow when God, the situation can just change. Lord, we're so grateful for times in our lives when we just couldn't see the wood for the trees. And then in a moment, in an instant, in a second, in a day, in a short space of time, it all changed. And you know, let's stand and worship the living God. And if God has changed things for you lately, why don't you stand and just be so grateful for that? And if you need God to change things for you, and anything I've said this morning, the Spirit of God has brought to your heart, if it's resonated and you would appreciate prayer, we'd love you to just come and stand at the front. We'd love to pray for you. So let's stand, shall we, in the presence of God as the